Amen. Well, good morning. Good morning. It looks like everybody made it through the storm the other night. Well, that was something, huh? That's like the storms of life. They come all of a sudden. They just pop up. That's why we have to be ready. It says to be ready in season and out of season, constantly ready. Our relationship to the Lord needs to be right at all times. You might say, well, you know what? Just be right. Just be right standing with him. Because you never know when the storms of life may rise up, you know. And let me tell you, storms rise up. Huh? A few of us like to run when the storms come. That's okay. Just so you turn around after a little while of running and you face the Lord. And you say, Lord, between you and I, we can get this thing done. Between you. And that's it. And you get in the hands of the Father and you let him protect you, lead you, and guide you. The storms of life will come, people. Storms of life will come. And some storms come and we've done nothing to make this storm rise up. You know, look, just look at Job's life. He was a perfect man. I mean, I say perfect. His relationship to the Lord was right. And so things rose up and attacked him. And so he had to stand firm and keep his relationship to the Lord right. And God restored back unto him what was rightfully his and gave him more than what he had before. So you see, we just got to keep pressing in, doing what is right, standing up for what is right, and seeing the power of God and the anointing of God move upon people's lives and hearts. I know last week I shared about miracles, some of the miracles, two of them, that Jesus did while he walked upon the earth. And you know, as I said last week, there are at least 34 or so recorded miracles. That's not all miracles in the Bible. No. Only in the, it's called, and I'll say it again, Synoptic Gospels, which is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Some of them are repetition, like, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John may have the same miracles, but differences, there's about 34 or so in those books that I have counted and looked at. They might have one more, I don't know, but I think it's around 34 that I see. So out of those 34, here Jesus, from the time he was 30 to 33 and a half or so, went around, and when he needed to, you know, when the Father would allow him to, he would bring healing, or he would supply for them. He would do all kinds of things, miraculous things, people. And really what it has done for me as I read these miracles, it has built my faith to believe God for the impossible. Because what he did back then, he can do today, whatever it is. Whatever it is, people. You know, we often think, well, you know, well, God can't do this, but God can do that. God can separate those things that need to be separated and bring about those things that we need in our hearts and our lives to accomplish the will of the Father. He can do it. He can change circumstances in your heart, in your family, in your children. That's the power of our God, the miraculous. And I know probably every one of us in here have seen or heard or seen things in our own lives where the power of God moved upon a situation. And if he would not have moved upon that situation, things would have been lost. Maybe even our own selves. Because sometimes we make decisions or do certain things that are not good. Okay. We're sinful people. Everybody says amen?
Amen.
Amen. We're all in the same boat. In that same boat, we need a Savior. Praise God. That saves our souls. And saves our bodies and brings us and leads us into a new place with him. We've all done some things that probably were not good, huh? I know that. Come on. But we've all done some things that maybe God has told us to do that we accomplish for him too. And that's what we need to zero in on. Those things that God put upon your heart. And it might be the simplest things. Maybe it was giving somebody some money. And you thought, well, how simple can that be, you know? But if you don't have it and you need it, it's a big thing. Or maybe somebody, you know, you were somewheres and whatever stores or wherever you were at, and you saw somebody and you just started praying for them because you knew God had put them on your heart. Something's not right. Not that they were in sin or evil, but something wasn't right. Maybe they were attacks of the enemy, and you started praying for them, and all of a sudden you see them a few weeks later, and they just come to you and say, man, something happened in my heart. Something happened in my life. And then you could show, man, look, God put you on my heart when I saw you, and I started praying, God, move upon them. And man, look, you have a glory shout right there saying, look what God can do. You know, maybe God laid it upon some of your ladies' hearts or men to cook for somebody. You did it and brought it to them. Just whatever it was. Giving a helpful word to somebody, you know. Just lifting them up and asking God to move upon their lives. That's the power and the miracle of God. All kinds of things are happening. Let me tell you, it says in the last days that God will pour out His Spirit. And literally, I'm thinking, Lord, it's not just a trickle down a little bit here and a little bit there. He's saying in the last days that He would pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. You know, you look at Niagara Falls, you know, you look at those things and you see the water coming over those cliffs and stuff and coming down, and you're thinking, you know, they kind of know where the water's coming from, but I mean, it's just never ending. That's what God's going to do in the last days. It's going to be like a Niagara Fall, a pouring out of the water of the Spirit of God upon His church, and miracle signs and wonders that we've longed for and waited for and we've talked about it around our tables and reading our Bibles and saying, Father, why aren't we seeing these things that You talked about, Lord God? And God is saying, get things right. See, it's the church that has stopped it. But then we get things right. And the power of God starts to move. And the Niagara Fall of the Spirit of God starts to flow out. And God is pouring out His Spirit upon all flesh. And look, what we've seen today, look, greater things are coming that we've never saw before. That's going to happen. People are hungry for the Spirit of God. Man, I've talked to so many people just trying to get them back in church. Just back in church. You know, they used to go to church when they were young. They're not going anymore. They just kind of disheartened, and almost they might have a right. Put it to you that way. But just trying to encourage them to get their relationship back with the Lord right and get back in church. Find a church. Find a place to go. There are some good places out there. There are some good ones. But seeing the power of God, people getting saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, people. And let me tell you, the old enemy will try to come in and say, nothing's happening. Because you see, we are moved by what we see. That's the truth. It's true. We move, and we are a natural being because of certain things that happened with Adam and Eve, you know, that sin nature came in, and we are moved by what we see. But God's starting to help the church to be moved by faith. To believe Him for the supernatural, people. And I know the enemy has attacked myself, I'm honestly, things, the church, the people, whatever, the body of Christ. But I tell you what, the power of God is moving. The power of God is moving. The Holy Spirit is moving. And we just got to keep trusting Him. Keep believing that what He said He would do. What He said He would do. Can you imagine 34 miracles that I know of? That Jesus did all kinds of stuff, supplying, doing all kinds of stuff. But I want to read in Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. And before I read that miracle, you know, Isaiah 40:31 says, and I know I quoted this scripture last Sunday before church started, but it's been in my spirit all week. Isaiah 40:31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The church has become weary. The body of Christ, I'm telling you. But you know, we need to get back to that waiting upon the Lord. And that means, and not just waiting, just sitting and saying, okay, Lord. That's not, when he's talking about waiting upon the Lord, he's talking about pursuing him, pursuing who he is, pursuing him through prayer, pursuing him through the word of God, pursuing him. There's a fly. You know, the ones that are married here, or was married, however, whatever. You know, when you first started to date, you know, the you pursued your spouse. You pursued her. You wanted to marry her, hopefully. That was the one. And so you pursued her in however way you could. As far as you called her, you did whatever, you know, you brought flowers, you visited, y'all went on dates, you pursued her to woo her in, so that when you would ask the magic question, hopefully she said yes. Why yes? You were pursuing her. I mean, it took time. It took time to get on that phone and call and get flowers, or go to the store and get flowers. And you know, it took time. Might have made you broke, but that's okay. You did whatever you could to win her heart. To win her heart because you loved her, and vice versa, however, you know. But you see, God says to pursue him. They that wait upon the Lord, pursuing him, trying to get him wherever, however we can. The more, it seems like the more we have of him, the more we want of him. Have you ever been so thirsty? I mean, it's like you drink water and you drink water and it's like, you're still thirsty. That's how God wants us to be towards him. That yes, he can satisfy that thirst for a little while. But yet to ever pursue him, to be thirsty for the things of God. Because sometimes we can become complacent. Very complacent. We have money coming in, all the bills are paid, we have money saved, everything's paid for, we're doing good. Ladies are buying all kinds of shoes and and dresses and makeup, thank you, Lord, and all kind of other stuff, and guys are buying all kinds of tools, and nothing wrong with buying stuff, please. Nothing wrong. But we become complacent. And maybe we're not pursuing him like we should. A desire for God. A desire to trust him. A desire to see him move. A desire to see him like never before. They that wait upon the Lord, it says, shall renew their strength. My God. The strength of the church has been snatched out of it. As far as, and when I say strength, I'm not talking about a bodily strength. I'm talking a strength of prayer, a strength of seeking him, a strength of the anointing of the presence of God, that kind of strength. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And it could be physical too. God can do that because we need that renewing of strength. It says they shall. It doesn't say they might. I'm kind of going off here, but that's okay. It says they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not get weary. That means, you know, people say, man, I'm burnt out. Talk about burnt. We can get burnt from working and doing. We get our physical body gets tired. But I tell you what, when you get under the shower of the Niagara Falls of the Holy Spirit, It moves. People, we need a touch. We have to hunger for the things of God. Because if we become satisfied, the Spirit of God will just go the other way. But to pursue him like never before. They shall run and not be weary. And it even says when we stop running, we shall walk and will not faint. I've heard of so many pastors they'll tell me, I'm burnt out. And that's because they're doing so much physical stuff in the church that really doesn't amount to a hill of beans, honestly. Honestly. But you see, the people want it. But it doesn't amount to a hill of beans, most of the stuff. You call a prayer meeting and see how many. Oh. And it's the prayer that keeps the church powerful. It's the prayer that moves God. And yet is the most lacking thing in the body of Christ. Now, I'm not saying prayer may be individually, because I think people pray. But to collectively come and pray is one of the things that is lacking. But you see, the Azusa Street Revival in Los Angeles that took place in the early 1900s is because they gathered together to pray. And it says at one time that the fire department was called. It was called Azusa Street because the house was on Azusa Street. That's when we have revival, they're going to call it the Main Street Revival. That's okay. Amen. We want revival. Revival that changes us and changes the community. We need revival. The power of God, the presence of God. And they called the fire department because they said they could see the fire, it seems like, on the top of the house. People. What it was with the Holy Spirit. The house wasn't, it was on fire. But it wasn't an earthly fire. It was the fire of the Holy Ghost that was on top of that thing, that house. The fire of God, the presence of God upon that place. They said I have books on the Azusa Street Revival where people's limbs had no limbs. And they came back. That didn't happen with human beings. But with God, all things are possible. People that were blind, and they'd pray over them, and they'd start to see. People that couldn't hear, and God started to move, and the people could hear. People that were oppressed of the mind, that God would come in and heal their bodies, and God, the power of God, and they could think clearly and do what God wanted them to do. The power and the presence of God. The power and the presence. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. As David, a great man of God, as this man loved God with all his heart, did what God called him to do. You know, it's an amazing thing. God could have left out all his failures in the Bible. And he had many. And some very powerful ones, if you want to say powerful. But God didn't. You might say, well, Pastor, you don't know my failures. Hey, look. You go to God. Ask God to forgive you. And you put your trust in the cross of Calvary and what was done there, and you let the power of the Holy Ghost help you. The power of the Holy Ghost help you to overcome those things. You see, you might say, you know, man looks at the outward, and yes, he does, but God looks at the inward part of a man. That man on the inside, what's on the inside? You know, man says, and I'll use preachers, because I'm one. Man says if a preacher messes up, throw him away. He's no good to society or anything. God doesn't say that. God says if he's repentive. restore him. And that's for anybody. Restore him back to me. Ooh, my. You see? Patient. Now, that's it. If they want to get rid of that stuff and all. But with the power of God, people, the power of God. 34 miracles. Look at this. Amen. Look at this. Look in Luke chapter 18. It says, and it came to pass that as he was come near unto Jericho. Now let me stop there. Jericho, this is the first time recorded that we know of, that Jesus goes into Jericho. Okay? He's never been there before. This is the first recorded that he entered that city. And it says, and a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. Now, let me give you the scenario. There's a blind man that's sitting in Jericho. He sat where he always sat. And there were people passing him by, and they were talking. He's coming. He's coming. And he's hearing. He can't see, so he don't know what's going on. But he can hear. And he said, what's going on? What's going on out here? And this is, look at verse 36 again. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passes by. This is the greatest news. And the note says, this is the greatest news that ever had fallen upon his ears. Can you imagine? Here this man, blind from birth, never saw before, sitting there, saying, hearing all the people pass by. They're talking about Jesus, the one that has brought miracles before, the one that changed the water into wine, that did all kinds of stuff. He's coming to Jericho. He's coming. That's like a well-known preacher coming to Gaydon or Kaplan or these areas. I mean, it would be the talk of the town. He's coming. He's coming. Not on the same level as Jesus, but yet a very important person or a star of some kind, you know. Very important. Coming. And they told him, Jesus of Nazareth passes by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. Here we see, he asked them, who is it? And they said, Jesus. He heard about the miracles that Jesus had done. And this might have been one of his last hopes. He's coming. I need to get his attention. And he starts to cry out. I mean, a miracle. Jesus, son of David, have mercy upon me. It's an amazing thing how he stated that. Jesus, the Savior of the world, son of David, have mercy upon me. He didn't say, Jesus, son of David, because I'm wealthy, or I have this, or I'm well known in the community, have mercy upon me, or just go up to him. But he's, you know, he can't find Jesus. He can't get up and go and find him. He can't see. He's not sure where he's at in Jericho, but he hears the people passing. He hears the crowds passing, their feet, their wagons, their horses or donkeys, and he's hearing the children talk about the guy that's coming. And it sparks an interest in him. And the Holy Spirit put it in his heart to start crying out to Jesus. Because you see, he had to cry out to Jesus at the exact time that Jesus was passing by. Oh, that's something there. When the Holy Spirit starts to move, we got to get in the place where God can bless us and God can move in our hearts and lives. It says, getting back to that story in a little bit, you know, the pool of Bethesda, it said once a year an angel would come and stir up the waters, and the first one into that water in the pool would get healed. Because that was before Jesus died on the cross. because of the mercy of God, he had mercy upon these people. He would send an angel that would stir up the water, and the first one into the pool would get healed. That's the mercy of God. That's the power of God. When the water starts to be stirred in our hearts or wherever we are, we need to get to that place where the water's falling spiritually and saying, Lord, move upon my life. Move upon my heart. Lord, I cry out to you. Lord, move, move, move. And keep your heart humble before him as this guy kept calling out to Jesus. Son of David, have mercy upon me. Son of David. And look, they told him, be quiet. He was being, to them, they thought, you're nothing. You're being disrespectful. Shut up, basically. But he knew he needed something. He needed something. And he kept crying and crying out to God, to Jesus. And as Jesus was walking by, he heard. And they brought him. And he said to the guy, what do you want? Now that's an amazing statement, huh? You would think that when we, you know, somebody would be brought to us that was blind, we'd automatically think, well, you know, pray for the blindness. But you see, Jesus was trying to raise his faith to believe him. And the guy said, I want my eyesight. And it says Jesus prayed for him, and he was healed. People, we need to get where the power of God is moving, where the anointing of God is being stirred. And we need to let that Holy Spirit stir us on the inside. See, if this guy would have stayed seated, I would imagine that's what he was doing, I guess, and never, and would have listened to the people, whoever it was, telling him, shut up, be quiet, no one wants to hear you, he would have stayed blind. And can you imagine, as he was trying to call out and these people were telling him this, in his mind he was battling. Because these people could have done anything to him. He's blind. I mean, they could have hit him, dragged him to the back alley, you know, and took care of him. Really. But you see, he had to fight maybe what was going in his mind also. And you see, a lot of times, our battles are fought in our minds, people. You know, the scripture, it says for us to think on things that are pure, holy, true, just, of good report. And we know that. But you know, we battle things here. You know, there's the book, I think it's called Battlefield of the Mind. It is a battlefield. But we need to get to the place where we don't allow things just to flow in. That we do everything we can as we put our faith in Christ. We do everything we can so that our minds stay pure before God. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, some things can only be taken care of with medicine and all this stuff. But I'm talking about attacks from the enemy. Attacks, and let me tell you, the scripture says, I'm thinking about this, as a man thinketh in his heart, talking about, so is he. You might, and I always thought that was an interesting way they put it. You know, well, God's always interesting. But as a man thinketh in his heart, because we think here, not so much here. But when a man, when whatever we think here becomes here. So as a man thinketh in his heart, it means he's already thought of it about himself. See? And we got to make sure that we don't let things go in that the enemy's trying to throw. That we do everything. Now, the first thing we have to do is put our faith in Christ and know that it's the Holy Spirit that will help us. But you see, it's a battlefield. This thing is a battlefield. I mean, you know, how many times have we been in situations where we took things wrong and we thought it was a certain way and it wasn't that way, you know? And then we find out later we were wrong, and oh Lord, we have to go apologize. Huh? We have to go apologize because when we had things rolling, oh, this is what I saw, this is, and man, we knew it. And come to find out it wasn't that way. You know? So we got to make sure that we protect the mind and we protect those things, because the arrows are being thrown from the enemy. They'll try to make us think things maybe that aren't true, aren't right. And so the Bible says that we are to protect the mind, you know. We're to protect those things that try to flow in. That's why we got to protect the things that we see, because what we see on TV or what we see in whatever, on computers or on our phones or whatever else, if we see it, it will become part of the mind and it will fall to the heart if God doesn't get rid of it. Now, okay, but there's good things also. You know, we want to read what the Word of God and get that Word in us. Because it's the Word of God that says that it will change our hearts and change our lives. Now, there's nothing wrong with computers. I mean, we use that all the time. There's nothing wrong with phones, you know, and all that stuff. I mean, but when there's stuff on it that's not good, it becomes not good. And it will make people do things that they never dreamed of doing. But we know God's Word is truth. And the best thing that we can do is try to get God's Word in us. Humble ourselves before Him. Because you see, it's a battle. It's a battle out there. And so we got to do everything we can to make sure that this thing stays clean if we can. That we trust in God and we trust in who He is and helping us to become what God wants us to become. It's a battlefield. You know, and some people have a harder time than others. I realize that. Harder time than others. But just trust God. Do the things that you know you should do. Keep things clear as far as what you see. You know. Now, you know, you might say, well, you know, sometimes, you know, you're just driving along and you see something. And I understand that. You drive along on the interstate, you got to see some stuff. Huh? Not good things sometimes. Now, there's some good things. There's a lot of food that makes you want to stop and eat, you know. Yeah, we got to stop and eat, you know. But but there's some stuff that's not good. Yeah. Like Billy Graham said, and I know I've said this before, it's not the first look that gets you in trouble. It's the second. Huh? It's that second look. And so what we got to do is divert and say, no, Lord. And just because you saw something like that doesn't mean that it's a sin. But if it becomes planted in your mind, it becomes a stronghold. And then it falls to the heart. And that's what we don't want. That's what we don't want. That's what we don't want. We want our minds and our spirits and our souls to be pure before God. God healed this man of his blindness. God poured out His anointing, the power of God, the power of God that worked in this man's heart and life. Because you see, when we need a healing and God moves, it not only touches our bodies, but it touches the spirit man on the inside of us. When God starts to move, it's like, oh my God, thank you, Lord. Because you see, a lot of things that need to happen in all of our lives can only come about by a mighty move of God. That's all. That's all. Now, we can do certain things that God shows us to do, but it's only by a mighty move of God. You know, it's only a mighty move of God that can save our children. That's all. It's only a mighty move of God that can save our spouses if they're not saved. It's only a mighty move of God that can change an area and bring about peace and joy and love in a certain area. It's the power of Almighty God. And that's what we need. This man called for Jesus. And let me tell you, the scripture says, call upon me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things. Look, anytime a man or a woman, a boy or a girl, calls out to Jesus, you get the attention of the Godhead. And let me tell you, they will come. They will come. When we call out, call upon me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things. When we have a heart for God and we call out, or anybody out there, even if you know they don't, even if they don't even know God, but yet they know there is a God out there. And when they call upon him, he will bring people their way to help them. That's the kind of God we serve. People, we should never think that we are alone, that God doesn't care. But God is always there to help us, to encourage us, to help us, to be there for us. Because that's the kind of God we serve, that cares about his people. You think, as I related that story of Peter and Andrew and James and John, as they were on that boat all night, that God wasn't looking and caring about these four fishermen. And as they toiled all night, can you imagine casting out their nets all night, 8 to 10 hours that night, and coming out with no fish? But they didn't realize that they were in the midst of a mighty miracle about to happen. And people, the driest places in our lives brings about the greatest revival of a Godhead upon our lives. The greatest dry places in our lives, I'm going to say that again, the greatest dry places in our lives brings about the greatest miracles of God upon our lives. The greatest dry places, because I know some of you have been in dry places where it seems like you've called and you've called and you've called and there's no answer, it seems like. But let me tell you, God hears, God hears, God hears, and morning's about to come. And revival's about to come. And people are going to give their hearts to the Lord. And God's going to change the situation we're in at that time. Can you imagine when morning came and Jesus walks out to meet those four guys and they see him coming and they're like, we can't even offer him a fish. We can't give him anything to eat. And they know he can do it all. And what he does is he says, let me use your ship to teach these people. And he taught them and he says, let's go out. They threw it one time, people, one time. In the hands of God, all it takes is one time. In the hands of man, it takes 1,000 and zero comes about. Ministry only belongs, and this is a lesson for us, ministry only belongs to God. Ministry does not belong to man. Ministry only belongs to God. People, catch it. Ministry only belongs to God and what he can do, people. You might say, well, I've been praying for my family. I've been praying for my children. I've been praying for my spouse. I've been praying for this and that. You keep on praying and you keep on believing because morning's about to come. Morning's about to happen. Miracle's about to come. Miracles are about to happen. Things are going to take place. It may seem dry. It may seem like nothing's happening. But let me tell you, God's coming upon the scene and he's about to walk on that sandy shore and to tell you, come on, let's get in your boat. And you throw out that net and you see the mighty fish that are coming. And let me tell you, they got to that shore, like I said earlier. And he calls them fishers of men from that day forward. He was teaching them a lesson that you can't win men's hearts unless I first go and prepare that heart. Only him. Only him. They left the fish there for others to have. It's an amazing thing. Turn your attention to God. Let the miracles flow. Let God move in your heart and life. And let me tell you, God's going to move like never before. In those dry places, God's going to bring the water that needs to be there. That's the kind of God we serve. The miracle working of our God. Great is he. Great is he. And don't be moved by these. Because if that, thank God the man was blind, if you want to say it that way. Because he couldn't see what was going on. God wants to take off the blinders off of our eyes to see God clearly in what he can do. Amen. Why don't you stand, please? Praise God. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for today. Father, we thank you for the mighty, mighty miracles and who you are. Father, we thank you for the encouragement in our hearts and lives. We thank you for the power of your Spirit. We thank you for the healing power of God upon the people's lives, Lord God. Father, work in their hearts, Lord God. Be with them and help them and encourage them. Father, Lord, work in their hearts and lives and help them to accomplish your will, Father, this day. Father, be with your people, Lord God. We give you praise and honor and glory. Protect them as they go home this day, Lord, and be with them. And Father, I thank you for them, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Look, we appreciate you guys. We thank God for you and love you. And we pray you have a great week this week. Amen. God bless you. Rita.